welcome to yet another episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. We have another great show for you today. A lot of basketball talk with the NCAA tournament going great. And we have the dog days of the NBA season kind of, you know, ending soon. And we'll be discussing some important topics as we near the end of that season. But first, I want to go right out to Bobby to talk about his orange that were able to take down the Indiana Hoosiers on Thursday. And it was an impressive victory. What do you have to say about that, Bobby?
Oh, Adam, I am ecstatic over the victory, as is this entire campus. The length and the athleticism of Syracuse just overwhelmed Indiana the entire game. A team that has shot 40% from three this season, they couldn't overcome it. I was waiting for Tom Crean to make adjustments that were going to get them going. And aside from coming out to a good start in the second half, they really didn't play well, and Syracuse handled this game and was in control from wire to wire.
Yeah, you're absolutely correct, Bobby. What an impressive victory for Cuse. I was astounded. You know, Indiana had that scare against Temple last week, so it was just impressive that they were able to, you know, that the Syracuse was able to take advantage of Indiana, and they really stepped it up. And, you know, they'll be facing Marquette on Saturday, and it'll be a big game for each of these teams and a big Big East clash. And the only reason why Marquette, I think, is there is because Reggie Johnson was unable to travel to D.C. due to a knee injury. And, you know, I really thought his absence affected the team. You know, would you say the same?
Yeah. In my opinion, when you get blown out, a guy who doesn't come off the bench is not the biggest reason that you lost by any means. Reggie Johnson, he definitely makes an impact for Miami and would have helped them on the glass, but he only averages 6.7 points and 4.8 rebounds per game. So he's probably not even the second biggest reason he lost. Miami certainly had enough talent on them to get it done, but Marquette was a better team, and I give them all the credit.
Yeah, it definitely makes sense. But I think when you lose, you know, part of your heart, and, you know, I think they were definitely affected, just not even on the floor, but also in the locker room. But then when it comes to being on the floor, he was really the guy in the middle for them. And even if he came off the bench, I was still thinking that he would have made a huge difference. They wouldn't have continued that terrible start. They started bad, but then they just continued to be bad in that first half. So I think he would have helped stall that and allow them to at least hang in the first half, or at least make a comeback earlier than they were able to, or they didn't even, you know, weren't even able to make much of a comeback. But he would have been, I think, a difference maker. But you know what? We can look going forward. We definitely disagree on that point. But you know, it doesn't really matter anymore. Miami's done. So really, it comes down to your orange out in Syracuse against the Marquette Golden Eagles. What do you think?
Boy, another Big East battle. These always scare me for the orange. And I think a key factor is going to be what conference the refs are from. I would love to see Big East refs officiate this game because they know how to handle the physical nature of playing the conference better than refs from another conference, of course. So I think they're the most appropriate officials to call this game. I don't know if that's going to be the case. Personal hunch, that's not going to be the conference officials doing the game. But look for how the game is called to have a big impact on the physicality and the style of play from both sides.
Very interesting point, because I wouldn't have thought about that part of the game, because it definitely makes a huge difference. And, you know, there was one guy who stood out to me, and of course it was Michael Carter-Williams on Thursday when he came in with 24 points, and that was an impressive performance by him. Is he able to duplicate this on Saturday against Marquette, and if so, going forward?
That was easily his best game of the season. I said going into the game that SU would have his best game of the year to beat Indiana, and that is exactly what happened. March Madness is all about guard play. The performance for the team was sparked by Carter Williams, who was the catalyst, hitting threes. He had four steals. He was aggressive. He didn't turn the ball over that much. You know, he took care of the basketball. So he was the catalyst last night for a very impressive performance by the entire squad. And if he can keep that up again on Saturday against an opponent that's very familiar with him, then it certainly bodes well for the Orange, and keep in mind that Yogi Ferrell, the point guard for Indiana, is known for his on-ball defense and ability to get steals. Carter Williams has been turnover prone all season, and he dominated that matchup and was, in many people's opinion, the best player on the floor.
Hey, so it sounds like it could be a great matchup at the guard position on Saturday. Do you think that he steps up and allows this Q's team to make it to the Final Four? I think they do. What do you think, Bobby?
I think Syracuse is the better team. It's a game they should win. That doesn't mean they're going to, but I'm definitely going with the Orange. It's also a bit of a bias. I'll happily admit that for this game. But Syracuse is the better team, bias aside. Even though they lost to Marquette in the regular season, but this team has been playing at a completely different level ever since the Big East tournament. So I look for them to get it done, and this year, unlike last year, get to the Final Four.
Hey, it's impressive what they've done this year after having that disappointing year last year, especially with the Fab Melo situation. And that's all in the past, but it's impressive what they've done here in 2013. We go from one team in Cuse that shocked the nation by taking down Indiana to the Shockers in the West region, the Wichita State Shockers. They shocked the number one seed Gonzaga a week ago. Then on Thursday, they take down LaSalle. Not that impressive of a victory, but they still got the win against the 13 seed LaSalle Explorers to move into their first Elite Eight since 1981. Are you giving this Wichita State a chance against the Buckeyes on Saturday?
Well, Wichita State has been good all season long. Not too many people, if you don't follow college basketball closely, have taken note of them up until tournament. And I definitely think that they have the makeup to beat Ohio State, who, you look at their last two games, the Buckeyes, Aaron Kraft gets a charge call that changes the complexion of their game two performances ago. And then most recently, they get a LaQuinton Ross three with 2 seconds left to win. So it's good mental makeup down the stretch from a team that we already knew was mentally tough. But it's a team that has had some breaks and also had to bail themselves out at the end of games. Wichita State has been playing fantastic, and I definitely think they can top the Buckeyes.
And Wichita State shot the three ball so well against Gonzaga, and I think they'll need that against Ohio State to have a chance, because Ohio State has shown some impressive performances. Although, as you alluded to, those close games are frustrating to watch for any Ohio State Buckeye fan. You don't want to see your team going down to the last seconds in a tie game or being down, having to get a big bucket like they've gotten twice now. And it's really going to come down to, hopefully for the Buckeyes, not a last-second shot. They need to be comfortably up, because with Wichita State's outside shooting, they could be in the game at any time. So really, Ohio State needs a cushion in order for them to get the victory, always to get a nice victory, which I'm sure a lot of Ohio State fans want.
Yeah, you nailed it, Seth. If it's close at the end of the game, you've got to be on your guard about the three ball for Wichita State, because I'll tell you, they can shoot themselves back into any game. They put up 38 in the first half against LaSalle and 34 in the second half. That's a team, once they get going from three, it's like a freight train where you almost can't stop them. And so the key for Ohio State is going to be how well they defend the perimeter. They've got to be tight defense, up on their man, hand in the face on every shot. They can't, get caught up in a pick or anything like that. It's going to have to be contest every three, control the glass. If they can do that, then you definitely favor the Buckeyes. And as for Wichita State defensively, they're going to have to handle Ohio State's ability to get into the lane. And, that's a team that loves the driving dish. And if they can stop that and limit penetration, then they put themselves in a good position.
I've really not liked how Ohio State has dealt with the end of games. They've gotten lucky, really. So that's why I'm leaning towards Wichita as an upset favorite here, or an upset over the favorite in Ohio State here. And I think because, they put up 14 made three-pointers, 50% against Gonzaga, and then they are able to just dismantle LaSalle, not even allow LaSalle to have a chance. So you know what? They're doing very well recently. If anything, they've had some big victories compared to Ohio State's victories. Those Ohio State's victories look tiny in comparison. And I think, let's go with it. Let's just say, I think I'm going to go with the upset there. What do you think?
Looking at Wichita State, a team known for its three-point shooting, they only took 12 attempts in the big win against LaSalle.
They didn't need to. They didn't need to take any.
No, they took 67 shots from the rest of the field. So that shows that they're more balanced than people realize. I like this team a lot. Carl Hall, a very good player. They've got Malcolm Armstead. I like Wichita State to pull off the upset. I think the Buckeye season ends against the Shockers.
Wow, we really really agreed right there with both of them. And I think both with the lower seeds then, now going into Saturday's game. So it'll be a lot of fun to watch those games and everybody get their brackets ready or throw it away. Whatever is working for them so far, I'm pretty sure most people have thrown theirs in the garbage. Would you agree?
Well, I had Miami winning the national championship, so I recycled mine last night as the Hurricanes went down.
Indiana for me as well. So we're both done, and it'll be enjoyable just watching the games, and I'll be rooting for you guys.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Of course. And when we come back, we'll be talking about some NBA.
Welcome back to Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. The Miami Heat's 27-game win streak was recently snapped in a playoff frenzy atmosphere at the United Center. The streak was just 6 games shy of the all-time record held by the Los Angeles Lakers. Adam, would you say that the loss was a good thing for Miami?
Yeah, definitely. It's a weird thing to say, but now they don't have to worry about it. Dwayne Wade, is injured. I've talked about this before. He is one little injury away from making this team not the favorite anymore. So I'm going to say that this is important that they were able to not worry about it because they were ready for the record. They were ready to go for it and go full speed at it. Spoelstra was in for it. LeBron was in for it. Bosch was in for it. And even Wade. Everybody loved this record. They wanted to go for it. And I was enjoying the ride as well. Even as a Celtics fan, you know, I was enjoying watching this team going for the record because it's NBA history. And it's a lot of fun. LeBron's a historian, and he liked it. But I think if I were a Heat fan, I'm happy that they didn't get this because the ultimate goal is the championship, and that's what you go for. And now I think they have a better chance of winning the championship because now there's going to be a better chance of them being healthy.
This definitely helps them in terms of winning a championship. And like we talked about on our last show, the goal is not to set the all-time regular season win streak as significant an accomplishment as that is. It pales in comparison to a championship. And this allows them to rest guys, particularly Dwayne Wade, who, if he went down, and we've seen a number of key cogs in the East go down to severe injuries, if Wade falls victim to an injury that keeps him out of the playoff or forces him to miss a lot of playoff action, that is a devastating blow to the Heat. That's not to say they can't overcome it, but it certainly does not help their chances.
Yeah, it's a very interesting situation because when you look at this Heat team, you're going to say, okay, they're definitely the favorite to win the NBA championship. But if you're trying to win that many games in a row, even heading into the playoffs, you know, it's going to be a tough situation because that's surrounding them all the way through and they're playing, you know, 35 minutes a night and they're forcing themselves to try to win every game. And that's not what's supposed to happen in the last few games of the season. And, you know, it's really not obviously proven because you've seen teams fall because they've sat guys too much at the end of the season. But that typically is just because the team wasn't ready in the first place. So it's a very interesting situation, but let's look to the other team that played that Wednesday night, that crazy game at the United Center in front of that Chicago crowd. You saw the Bulls. So intense, so ready for everything. And that was without Rose, without Noah, without Bellinelli, without Rip Hamilton. That was impressive.
Their two best players were out, as you mentioned, other key role players. And Tom Thibodeau has found the blueprint for what a lot of teams are going to throw at the Heat now. I hope that they don't see it too much in the regular season, for the first time they really deal with it for a long stretch in the playoffs. And that is playing physical with them. Kirk Heinrich tackles LeBron James and it seems to get in his head mentally. LeBron complaining about it after the game. Something we see with this Heat team all the time is complaining to officials, despite the fact that on the surface, I have no numbers to back this up statistically, but it appears like they get more calls than any other team in the league, something that wouldn't surprise anyone. LeBron, it definitely feels like he gets more star treatment than any other player in the league. You know, he goes long stretches without getting a foul or without getting more than two fouls a night, and he talks about how it's just the way he plays the game. In some ways, that's true, but really the bigger factor than how he plays is refs giving LeBron unfair treatment.
Well, I actually have a statistic for you about Tom Thibodeau's dominance over LeBron's teams. When LeBron has played against Tom Thibodeau, Thibodeau is 26-20, including the postseason, including the regular season, when he was with the Rockets to the Celtics to now the Bulls as an assistant coach and head coach, 26-20 against LeBron, which is unbelievable how impressive that he can be as a defensive coach against the best player in the world as far as basketball goes.
The pride of Salem State, how can you not love Tib? And we'll see how Miami responds now to teams, courtesy of Thibodeau's blueprints, playing them physical. They're going to have to be mentally tough. They're going to have to be mature and just rise above it. You know, I definitely believe that when you're talking about a championship at stake, that Miami can do it, but they're yet to respond too positively to that style of play if things not going their way.
It's going to be a tough time for the Bulls to win four games against the Heat in the playoffs they do meet. But the Bulls did shut down that Heat corner three-pointer, the most efficient shot in the NBA game, in basketball in general. So if they're able to shut that down, they're able to put themselves, the Bulls, put themselves in a solid position to win. We just don't know if they have the cogs on offense to be able to let them get all the way through. If Rose returns, there's a chance. If Noah returns and he's healthy in the playoffs, there's a small chance. But they just need health and they need some luck on their side. But moving on to the West Coast, we have the Los Angeles Lakers suffering an injury. Meta World Peace, one of their last standing good players, had surgery Thursday for a torn lateral meniscus and will miss a minimum of 6 weeks. How will this affect the Lakers down the stretch and in the playoffs? Or will they make it to the playoffs?
Losing Meta World Peace is a huge blow for a Lakers team that currently tied for 8th place, are tapped after a really poor 3-point shooting season last year, back up at 34% this season. And in Mike D'Antoni's offense, he likes to spread the floor. Now they lose another key cog who can shoot the three, and Earl Clark, that's not his game. That's a bit out of his range. So that's a big blow. Then you look at the other side where they're going to miss Meta World Peace the most because of his ability to guard teams' best perimeter scorers, guys like Kevin Durant. They don't have that anymore. Oh, and by the way, who's their second best perimeter defender? Kobe Bryant, who's also injured, dealing with ankle woes. So this is a huge loss for a Lakers team that is clinging to the 8th seed.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough situation. I don't think they'll end up making the playoffs with the Mavericks playing better recently and the Jazz, who I still think I have some confidence in, even after the Enes Kanter injury to his shoulder that put him out indefinitely. I still think they have each of those teams had enough cogs to at least give a chance or give a fight to get that 8th spot, and that's what I think will end up happening for either one of those teams because this Lakers team is just so decimated. I'm not sure Dwight Howard's minor increase in healthiness from the beginning of the season will allow them to make it. So I'm just thinking that now, even since you lose your best defender, one of the best defenders in the league in Meta World Peace, the Lakers will now miss the playoffs. So I would just mention the Dallas Mavericks. They got murdered by the Indiana Pacers, the Danny Granger-less Indiana Pacers on Thursday. Danny Granger is now out for the rest of the season. He only played 5 games this season, but now he's going to undergo surgery on his left knee. Are the Pacers still a threat in the Eastern Conference, Bobby?
Indiana is absolutely still a threat. Thanks to the season that Paul George, now the one-time All-Star Paul George, is having. He has been so good for this team at both ends of the floor. And a lot of people question, how would things work out with Granger back in the mix between those two, sharing the ball? You know, who's going to guard the best perimeter player on opponents in crunch time, in, you know, throughout the game? Who's going to have the heavier assignment? How's the pecking order going to be? Who's one, who's two? Between those two guys, now it makes things a lot more clear for the Pacers. Just like Memphis said, that trading Rudy Gay made things much more organized for them. It does the same thing, even though they're losing a great player in Granger, who, in my opinion, it would have done a lot for them and definitely helped keep both of them, not just Paul George, but Granger himself, fresh. And so they lose that, but what they gain is keeping things organized, continuing the guys they've had all season long.
Coming into Saturday night, the Pacers are an impressive 16 games over 500 without Granger this season. They did go 4-1 with him, but let's remember, he was just more of a role player for them this year. So, really, all they have to do is now rely a little bit more on Roy Hibbert. He needs to be big for them to advance in the playoffs because they have the size that not too many teams have. They have the rebounding that not too many teams have. So that's really what they need to take advantage of because the Pacers are a strong team. They are arguably the second best team in the Eastern Conference. I just don't even think, you know, the Knicks are so up and down. You know, they have been playing well recently, but their shot can go up and down because of their three-point shooting. So we really don't know what they're going to be able to be. The Pacers can be consistently the second-best team and can meet the Heat in the Eastern Conference Finals pretty easily if they have their heads turned on straight and they're able to rebound and score efficiently.
What I like about the Pacers is that the Knicks' three-point shooting leads to good defense. The Pacers' identity, first and foremost, is at the defensive end, where their length, athleticism, even without Granger, and how physical they play at that end, it really sets the tone for the team. Three-point shooting, they shoot 35% as a team. That's definitely a good number. That's solid. But it's not the end-all, be-all for them like it is with the Knicks. Now, come the postseason, this team needs production down low from David West and the less reliable Roy Hibbert. Hibbert is going to have a huge say in how far the Pacers team goes and if they match up with Miami, if they are able to be successful or not.
I absolutely agree. Their defense is their important part of the floor because that's going to lead for them to get solid offensive production. They're not that strong of an offensive team, pretty much middle of the pack after having a nice resurgence recently, but by far one of the best defensive teams over the last decade, and it's a great thing to see that Frick Vogel's squad can put together such a great defensive season because they're almost as good as far as the difference between their defensive efficiency in comparison to the second place team in the league is the difference between the second place team and the 10th place team in defensive efficiency. That's how big of a lead the Indiana Pacers have at the number one position in defensive efficiency this season. And I know I said defensive efficiency a lot there, but that's the most important thing for them. And that's when it comes down to the playoffs. I know their X factor will be their offense because it's so haywire with the different options that they have. But defense will be important for them, especially against a Miami team that they hope to face in the Eastern Conference Finals. Well, that was another great episode of Sports Talk with Bobby and Adam. Had a lot of fun. You can always tweet questions to us through Twitter. You can get me at @statsadam. You can go to the hashtag STWBA and we'll respond to everything you guys have for us. And Bobby, where can they find you?
You can find me on Twitter at @Bobby_K91. And don't be afraid to use that hashtag STWBA. So let us know what's up and what you want answered on the show. Have a great weekend, everyone.